Hello again, I'm Jerry Stearns, and tonight on Sound Effects, it's a good thing this show is on as late as it is on Sundays, because we're continuing some stories that are best listened to after dark. So, on Sound Effects tonight, later on, we've got another episode from the Tales from the Museum series by Darker Projects. We'll start off with something from the Earbud Theater that is appropriate for After Dark. But first, we have this public service message.
You have reached customer service for...
Insert your company name here.
Thank you for calling. All our customer service representatives are trying desperately to catch up. Your call is important to us, but there are just so damned many of you. Please stay on the line, and one of our customer service representatives will get to you. Eventually. Probably just after whatever it is you're calling about has become obsolete. You have reached customer service, technically speaking.
And so let's begin our tale that's best listened to after dark. We're walking down a street. Looks like the street you'd find in any big city. It's a bit unkempt and not very well lighted, catering to just a certain kind of person. But it looks like there's something just a little off. The inhabitants here are, well, let's say not exactly human. Not quite. So from the EarbudTheater.com, this is a tale by Eric Del Carlo. And it's a story of those people who are not quite human, living a life as best they can out here in the dark on Changeling Boulevard.
Hey, Faye. What's she singing there, Faye, huh?
The Battle Hymn of the Republic by Weird Al Yankovic.
Is that right? Ha! Wait. You're being funny, right?
Hilariously so.
Because you being funny, I mean you. You're already funny. Not funny, ha-ha, yo.
I'm working here, friend. If you're window shopping, I'll thank you not to fog up the glass.
Huh? You smart-mouthing me, Faye? You... with your pointy little ears and snow-white hair. I was just being friendly, fairy girl.
Oh, so friendly.
Maybe I want to buy what you're selling.
Maybe you want to.
You saying I can't have you? I got money, same as anybody.
Yeah, well, I don't do drunks. You come back sober sometime.
Drunk? No fairy calls me a drunk. You ain't even human.
You like to dance? Fine, let's dance.
Goddamn, kill you!
Oh, yeah?
Lousy Fay.
Oi, leave off, mate. Take your hands off her. I said leave it!
You can't.
It's done, mate. It's over. Now get on your feet and piss off out of here.
I was just being friendly. Lousy fairies. What human baby got snatched away so you could take its place?
You all right then, miss?
Just back off, man. I could have handled him. And I can handle you. You want to find out?
I don't. And in point of fact, I saw how well you were dealing with your subtle man there. Bravo, miss.
Then why'd you step in?
To save you a spot of bother. Don't know. When I hold a lift door for someone, they don't usually ask me why I did once they step aboard.
Well, I don't need you being chivalrous.
It's chivalrous, miss. And chivalry was mostly about how you handled your horse.
Okay. Now I know that. See ya.
Hang on a minute. Can I walk with you?
I'm working.
I just want to talk.
Yeah, well, that costs two.
All right. I'll pay. How about I buy you something to eat? You look to be skin and bones.
You ever met anybody like me before, Hamlet?
Not as such, miss. And Hamlet was a Dane. My name's Carrington.
I haven't seen you on the street before.
No, miss. I don't suspect you have.
Not from around here, are you?
Well, that's rich coming from you, if you don't mind me saying.
Oh, because I'm not from this world.
I thought you might see the humor in it. You don't strike me as overly sensitive.
All right, Carrington. I could eat. Buy me something.
Lovely. There's this roadside chippy up the way. Charming little avenue here, isn't it?
It's the Boulevard of Broken Wings, baby. Don't they have places like this where you come from?
Not to be sure, miss. We've whole districts devoted to knocking shops and peep shows and dirty bookstores.
But not quite like this, huh?
Well, there is an element here that we don't have back home.
The Fae. Yeah, I bet you've never seen so many all in one place.
No, I wouldn't take that bet, miss. Miss, that's a bit awkward. I'm buying you dinner. What shall I call you?
Well, you haven't bought me anything yet.
It's just right up here.
Okay. What did you call this place? It's a chippy?
Right. Huh? Only they don't have a proper fish or chips. They've burger and fries. It's just here. You order at this counter, and you can sit outside at the table.
Okay, I know how a burger stand works.
Very good. Hello, we'd like 2 number 4s, I think. Don't mind me ordering for you.
Knock yourself out. Get me a soda.
2 sodas as well. That kind. Thanks. Let's have a seat. They'll call us when our food's ready.
Okay, again,
they're quite quick.
Listen, it's old brick guy. I am familiar with the milieu.
Milieu.
What, didn't I say it right?
Spot on, actually. So, let's have it then.
Have what?
Your name. You saw me pay.
Oh, sure. It's Cherish. Call me Cherish.
That's a lovely name.
Where are you from, London?
We're all from London, aren't we? Every last bloke in the UK.
Oh, now who's the overly sensitive one?
I mean that we all say London, but it's Neasden for me, actually. Up the Jubilee line. Bloody Neasden. But London sounds better.
Yeah, but what's in a name?
Shakespeare?
Who?
Ah, there's our food. Back in a tick. Here we are, and some napkins, condiments at your convenience.
Thanks. I like a straw for my drink.
And here's one for you. If I could propose a toast.
A toast? Are you for real, Carrington?
Please.
Okay.
To Cherish, the loveliest fae on the boulevard. That is all right to say.
What?
Fae.
I've heard worse. We've all heard worse. But yeah, it's an acceptable term here anyway. I mean, look around. You're surrounded by fae with more showing up every day. And you're surrounded too by those who come to gawk at and feed on fae. We're a cottage industry.
Cottage industry, what's that?
Doesn't matter. We make a decent cheeseburger here, wow.
You said feed on the fae. What do you mean?
What do you think?
I'd rather ask. I'm trying to learn.
You're a strange old man. Fine. You paid for dinner. Actually, that's a perfect example right there. You want something from me or from someone like me, so you just figure you can buy it.
Was I not supposed to ask you to a meal?
Depends on what you really want. and you've got two more bites of burger to decide what that is.
I just want to talk.
Oh, sure. Everybody just wants to talk. Every man's a gentleman until they get that inevitable glint in the eye and their lip starts to quiver and they're looking me up and down and wondering, just wondering, what she looked like with her clothes off. What would it be like to touch her delicate, ivory pale body?
Stop that.
Well, I'm done with dinner. You want something else? Say so now.
I
get lost, Carrington. Or should it be piss off?
Yeah, uproarious, isn't it? Bunch of wankers. Cherish, hey, hold up there. What was that for, then? I'm not like that pissed bloke from before, am I?
It's hard to tell you people apart. You look so much alike.
You're having a laugh now. Well, that's fine. But you don't need to treat me like this.
I told you, Carrington. I'm working. You either stop following me or you pay up. Your choice.
All right, then. I'll pay for your time.
We need a place to go. There's rooms up this way. Come on.
Fine. I'll pay for that, too. But to be clear, I just want to talk to you.
Sure you do. Come on.
Leave off, sin! Leave off these creatures of iniquity!
Christ, this jerk off again.
Do not dabble with Satan's children! Your immortal souls are at peril! Go away from this avenue of immorality and lust and weakness! Strike this evil place from your hearts!
He's in a snit.
Turn away before it's too late! Turn away! Turn away!
Everybody's just trying to make a living out here. Him too. You saw his donation bucket? All right, here's the place.
Oi, you behind the glass there. A room, please. How much? Yeah, fine. Here. Up this way, Cherish. Time to pay you too, I suppose. I'm not made of this stuff, you know. Tell me when I can stop counting out my money, won't you?
Okay, that's good.
Cost me quite a bit to make this trip. Hey, what are you doing?
I'm taking off my clothes. Don't you want to see what you're buying?
I said I just want to talk.
Oh, come on, Carrington. There's nobody else here. You don't have to keep pretending. Look at me. Don't you want to see the wings? Everybody wants to see the wings.
I'm turning away. Sod it, Cherish. Will you please get dressed again?
Oh, by God, you're actually serious. Okay. You can turn around. No more nasty white flesh to look at anymore.
I'm sure it's not nasty. Like I said, you're a very lovely young lady, but I've no wish to acquire your services.
Well, you're not a cop because you wouldn't have offered me money. Also, you don't have the stink of a cop. So what then? You're a reporter? You're going to do an in-depth expose on Faye Streetwalkers?
I think that particular article's already been written.
Yeah, but 1,000 times over. I said the Faye were an industry, and that's what I meant. We're the ultimate curiosities, and curiosities get turned into money.
Well, I didn't expect this.
Expect what?
You. Feeling sorry for yourself. Here, sit in the chair. I'll take the bed. Lovely digs, these. Let's talk.
Go ahead, old man. Let's talk.
I'm 42. Figured I had a few more years before I was an old man.
Well, things move faster in America. It's what makes us great.
How did you end up out here doing this?
Oh, come on. You want to play social worker with me?
It's a legitimate question. You got here from somewhere. Where was that?
Where do you think?
I said before, I'm trying to learn. Where did you come from?
That's a hell of a question to ask a Fae.
I don't mean your place of origin. I don't suppose anybody's ever going to know what that is, for certain. It's too magical, too otherworldly. No one's ever going to train a telescope on heaven.
Some people believe we're angels.
And some people are tossers. Excuse me. I mean to ask, where were you just before you made your way to this particular area? This now world-famous boulevard?
The, facility?
What was it like there?
I don't like talking about it.
Oh, but I paid you, didn't I? You let men pay you to do far worse things, I'd wager. Probably on this very bed.
Screw you, Carrington.
Now, Cherish. Tell me about the facility. It was run by the military, wasn't it? A multinational coalition, every government?
Yeah.
They studied you. They took you away and studied you, right?
Everybody knows that.
But you know it better than most. There were facilities the world over. No official number, of course, but nothing's ever official about any of this. But you were in one of those places. Tell me what it was like. The day-to-day, the practical things. Where did you sleep? When did you eat?
You got a real weird fetish for this, Carrington.
Please, tell me. It's important.
Okay. You're a paying customer and Adam Welsh, so... We lived in barracks. About 30 of us in each one, on a big military base out in the desert. It was high fences, armed guards. We had caretakers at first, later on teachers. Got educated, more or less, in among all the tests. We got fed like clockwork, army grub. There's strict discipline. We had to obey at all times.
Oh, what would happen?
Then they'd put you in isolation. Leave you in a 6x6 foot room for a week. And even then, you'd still be studied. They come in and run their tests, draw blood, marrow, whatever. I mean, at least that's how it was in the camp that I was in.
I imagine it was the same at all the others. They split you lot up pretty good. When did they take you to your facility?
Come on, everybody knows that too. We were all rounded up at the same time from all over the world.
Yes, but how old were you?
I was still a child, Carrington. I don't even know how old I was.
My God.
Yeah, well, I hope you were this outraged when it happened. When we were carted off, stripped of our rights, treated like goddamn prisoners.
I was. I truly was.
You know, I always wondered how you people justified it. We were children. Whatever else we were and are, just kids. We hadn't done anything. We didn't ask to be brought to this world to be swapped out for human babies.
But parents, human parents, if you must, they lost their children. They woke up one morning, and in the bassinet was...
A demon. An elf. Pointy ears and all, just like out of your stupid ancient legends. You want to know the worst thing you can call us, do you? Do you, Carrington? Go on. Say it. Say the word, Carrington. Say it.
I don't wish to.
Changeling. There. That's the word. We're changelings. The real babies were stolen in the night, and we were put in their place.
It's a terrible word. A terrible thing that happened. To you, to the parents.
Well, they gave us up. They reported us. For all I know, they wanted us sent to that camp. Out of sight, out of mind.
It wasn't like that. Not for everyone, anyway.
Well, you'd know better than me, Carrington. Why not tell me a story now, huh? What was it like when we first showed up and we appeared all at once overnight in the cribs, just like you said? What was that like?
It was unlike anything. Unprecedented. Worse, it broke the laws of reality. Suddenly, there was magic afoot in the world. Malevolent magic. Some of the swappings were captured on camera. Nanny cams and the like. One second the baby was there. The next. People went mad. There was panic, rioting. Every top-level scientist and every man on the street fool had a theory. Interdimensional crossover, cosmic rift, quantum bleed, lots of mystical and religious speculation too, naturally. End of days, the cities burned, industry ground to a halt, all because a few thousand babies the world over had been replaced with the Fae. You're right, it is just like the old myths, children taken in the night, substitutes left in their place. But once the Fae were collected, taken away, well, things started to calm down again. People got back on with their lives after a fashion. They had to in the end. But the parents who'd now lost their children twice over, those who had been born to them and those who had been left in their places, those parents, they didn't all want to give up the Fae. For some, the Fae were all they had left.
Well, that didn't make any difference where I was. In the camp, they tried to find out where we'd come from. They never could. Our DNA doesn't match anything in this world. They even interrogated us like we would know, like we were part of some fiendish plan to take over your world or something. There was this one nut job who was sure we were spies or scouts, acting as magical transmitters for an invading army. We had it all worked out.
I'm sorry for what was done to you.
Something you people probably never consider. Yeah, you lost your children. Well, we lost our own parents, whoever they were. We lost our world, whatever that is.
Yes. It's a tragedy for the ages.
Why do you care, Carrington? Why do you want to know all this?
I paid you to talk.
Oh, come on. We're friends now, aren't we? I shared with you. You really have been nice to me, different than other men, for sure. So tell me.
We named her Cassandra, my wife and I. Cassie Carrington was what people would have called her. Hello, Cassie. How's your mum? Cassie, we're going to the Flicks. Want to come? She never got to have any of those conversations. My wife was distraught after it happened. Actually, there's no word for it. It broke her. She was never the same afterwards. Never will be.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll tell you something else. There was a period, a brief period, when Cassie was gone and the new child was in her place. My wife wouldn't even come into the room. I took care of that child. That Fae. A girl. Not Cassie, but still a girl. I fed her from a bottle. I even held her, rocked her. I knew she wasn't human, but you can't just ignore a baby. Or I couldn't.
Did you care about her?
A baby girl? How could I not? Once the military people had the Fae children, once you and the others were taken away, we couldn't find out anything about you. No visits, no contact of any sort. Legally, we had no rights, much like you. You weren't our children, demonstrably. So they just kept you and kept you and gave us the endless runaround. Those of us who tried to find out about you, who still wanted to have contact, wanted you in our lives no matter what.
Then they let us go. After almost 2 decades, having learned nothing, really, no apologies, no explanations, just, there's the door, now go.
No attempts to return you to your homes, your families. All these years later. But of course, we were never really your families, were we? I mostly wanted to know what conditions were like in the facility, the camp. I just hoped it wasn't too bad.
We got through it. Honestly, we had each other. We knew we were different. It gave us a bond.
I hope it was that way for her.
You know, if I knew who she was or where she was now, I would tell you. But we were taken away as babies. They took our names away, too.
I had some doubts. You were christened Cherish.
Well, it's a professional name. It suits.
Yes, I suppose it does. I should be going. One last question, though. After they released you, how did you all know to come to this place, this boulevard?
How did the hippies all know to go to Haight-Ashbury? We just come here from all over, more and more of us. It's somewhere we can sort of call our own, a couple of miles of street. You people come to Ogle, and some come to touch us. Some of you still hate us, fear us, but this boulevard is home, I guess.
You never really knew where you came from originally.
Oh, must have been a land of magic and wonder, full of pixies and elves, rife with mystic perfume and ringing with strange song.
I just wonder, for the sake of the girl who replaced our Cassie, she could be any one of those I saw tonight. She could even be you.
Wouldn't that be a chuckle?
I just want her to be all right. Healthy. Happy, even.
She might be.
Yes. Well, good night, Cherish.
Goodbye, Carrington.
Do you think he knows?
You heard all that?
I hear all, child. Do you think he suspects?
No. That was just, no.
How amusing. How pleasing. More of the children gather there every day. Finally, in one place. Soon you will have the magic necessary to help us pierce the veil between the worlds. And after that, we shall come to you and wipe away these humans. And both our worlds will ring with our ancient songs.
Yes.
Yes? What?
Yes, Father.
This has been a production of Earbud Theater. Changeling Boulevard was written by Eric Del Carlo and produced and directed by Casey Wolf. Featuring the talents of Megan Duffy as Cherish, Barney Crow as Carrington, Pete Lutz as the Drunk, Nicholas Thurkettle as the Street Preacher and the Dark Father. Sound engineering by Casey Wolf. Sound design by Craig Good. Music by Kevin MacLeod. Spot art by Megan Hutchinson. Thank you for listening to Earbud Theater.
Changeling Boulevard. Boy, we've seen some changes in our boulevards over the last year or two. But not quite in that way, huh? Let's take a pause here for these kind words from KFAI Fresh Air Radio.
Did you know you're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio?
That's KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, or online at kfai.org.
Well, you are.
Yeah, I knew that.
Next stop for this train of thought is Sound Effects, a Radio Playground on KFAI, Fresh Air Radio.
Well, and here we are again. I'm Jerry Stearns for Sound Effects. And we have tonight another episode of Tales from the Museum, a series from darkerprojects.com and written by Charles Russell. In this, it's episode 12. It's just another ordinary day at the Johnson City Regional Museum. The new head of marketing is driving everybody nuts with this push for commercialism. And the levels of supernatural activity are slowly rising to critical levels. Just another boring day at the museum. Well, we'll see how that works out. We'll have the final episode for you next week, but this one is episode 12, and it's entitled Beyond the Veil.
Darker Projects presents Tales from the Museum, a mini-series written by Charles Russell, starring Perry Whittle as Keith Nash.
Nash.
Hey, yourself. Pull up a chair. Back from your vacation slash snake convention already?
Yep. Didn't want to miss the Halloween party. Anything interesting happen while I was gone?
Nothing much. Pierpoint's office was haunted. We tangled with a Confederate vampire. Helene has a boyfriend.
Good. Nothing out of the ordinary. Wait until you meet my new babies.
Babies? More snakes?
Well, Javi Rattlers. They're the cutest things you've ever seen.
Yet another reason to stay out of your lab.
Hey, Phil. Welcome back. Heads up, Nash. We have a problem. Again.
There's a shock. What's up?
She's done it again. Associate Curator Madeline Constable is just trying to get herself killed. In her endless quest to increase the museum's visibility and revenue, she's done it again.
Who?
Oh, yeah. And Pierpoint hired a new associate curator.
Know what this is?
Sure. One of the museum's new MP3 players. They bought them for the self-guided tours.
Very good. Next month, we have the Impressionist exhibition. This is a major media event. We're going to have two Van Goghs in the Great Hall, to say nothing of several other masterpieces.
I know. It's all Matsumoto in the art department has talked about for the past 3 months. A crowning event, he calls it. You wouldn't believe the extra security we'll have to have in place.
Yeah, well, Matsumoto will be taking a Ginzu knife to Madeline Constable if he hears this. Plug it into your USB port and start playing file number 16.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
This is right after the listener would have viewed the first Van Gogh.
Undoubtedly one of Van Gogh's most personal works. This is a work of art so intense that you should really have a full-color copy of it in your house. If you look to your left, you'll see our souvenir shop, where posters of this masterpiece can be purchased for...
You know, Matsumoto worked his way through schoolwork in a sushi joint. There wouldn't be much of a buy to dispose of.
There's also an advertisement for the starving artist special in the cafeteria. It's right after the Monet. This is the only copy so far. Jill in multimedia was on her way up to see you with it. She spotted me and asked me to address the issue. How does it feel to be one of the go-to people in our merry little castle?
Ah, the traffic's murder. Hey, you remember my cousin? He has a job that's 9 to 5, 5 days a week. Nothing ever happens to him, ever.
I do wonder how he stands it.
No idea. Gwen, Keith Nash. Is Ms. Constable in? I'll leave a message. I need to speak with her about the MP3. I'm pretty sure she'll know what I'm talking about. What? No, I don't need a secretary. I'll see what I can do. Bye. Oh, that's not right.
What?
You know, Gwen, voted easiest person in the museum to get along with, never has a problem with anybody. She just asked me to rescue her from that woman. That's not right.
I told you Madeline Constable was trouble.
Special Services, Nash.
Hey, boss. Have you seen Marla or Angie lurking about?
Still at the theater, as far as I know. Why?
Oh, good. I'm lugging a load of stuff, and I didn't want to go to the wrong place.
Stuff? What sort of stuff?
Electronics, stasnometers, recording devices, Diet Pepsi, 25-pound bag of salt. By the way, thank you so much for loaning me out to her.
My pleasure to volunteer you to serve the greater good. I'll be wandering over to the van mod a little later on, just to check.
Good. See you there.
You going to bring me up to speed?
Remember what I said about Pierpoint's office? Well, he decided that, as a precaution, any further acquisitions made by the museum would be scanned for paranormal properties. The Downtown Revitalization Committee bought the old Vanmont Theater last week. It was under the condition that the museum will oversee renovation and management. So, Mala Monroe...
So the great one called in the flaky one to give a look-see.
Pretty much.
Never fails. I go on vacation when I get back.
Anyway, Mala and company are doing their thing tonight. I ought to be there just in case.
I'll go too. Might be good for a laugh.
Me too.
Aren't you seeing Larry the proctologist tonight?
He's a gastroenterologist, and he makes more money than all three of us put together. Ugh, that's sad. Anyway, Lawrence is on call at hospital for the rest of the week.
Great. Let's hit the buffet at Long's Fats, and I'll tell you too about the python I had to wrestle last weekend.
Mr. Nash, I was just getting ready to call you.
You were?
Oh, Dr. Mancuso, Professor Stein. I know this might be out of your area of interest. It's just... odd.
Odd?
Well, it was most odd. Yes, it was most odd. Follow me, and I'll show you. Do watch your steps. There's scraps of wood and tools lying all over the place. Right through here, in the theater proper.
I haven't been in this place in years. They used to run all-night horror movie fest.
I remember those.
I'm just so happy that the regional museum chose to restore instead of demolish. Could you imagine? This place is an Art Deco masterpiece. A little ratty at the moment, but still, a masterpiece. Here we are. All the seats have been taken out to be reupholstered, so we're out in the open here.
The place is huge.
Oh, yes. And we found it right in the center.
Found what?
Well, it.
Which is?
Well, we really don't know. But right in the dead center of the room, pardon the expression, is a mass of spectral energy. It is a powerful mass in a very confined area. I'm totally unfamiliar with this construction.
How do you know it's there?
Because it blew out a new Stossner meter. Good thing it was still under warranty. Now, don't worry. Angie and I managed to set up a salt ring and the mandatory candles, but it seems to be growing stronger. Oh, it's quite a conundrum.
Hey, guys. Marla, I set your stuff over there.
Oh, thank you, Casey. I'll be right back.
Okay, Casey, what you got?
I checked our sources. There is no record of anything paranormal ever going on in this theater. The only thing I can find was the Rocky Horror incident in 1985.
Yeah, I remember that.
You? Boss, I never knew.
Your sources? What sources are those?
After we cleared up Pierpoint's office, he got us access to the county archives at the library. Casey dove in and found three good resources.
Yeah, they're really cool. We've got the full run of the Tennessee Valley Quarterly, which was published locally before the Depression. We've got the WPA collections of local folk history. My favourite's the Goodman Journals. She was this lady who lived in Johnson City all her life. 97 years. Her journals are just full of anecdotes, day-to-day life, local gossip, and ghost stories. She collected them. She weaved them into her narratives. It's really good stuff.
The world really does open up to you with a library card. By the way, Mala doesn't know about this. Keep it quiet.
Keep what quiet?
Hello, Angie. It's nothing, really. We just had Casey doing some background research on this place.
Did you find anything?
Nope. Any idea what it is?
I'm afraid not. It's just there.
Thank you, Casey. I appreciate you hauling that in here. My sciatica, you know.
No problem. Happy to serve the greater good.
Mala, may I ask a stupid question?
The stupider the better.
Your candles in the salt ring, are they supposed to be laid out like compass points?
Why, yes. Yes, they are.
You're off.
Excuse me?
You're off. Something us old-timers would know. This theater was laid out so that the center line of the stage was aligned with the magnetic north. Some Masonic thing, I think. If you look at the pattern of ceiling, you'll see a compass rose.
He's right.
Let's see here. I just happen to have a compass on my watch chain. See, your compass points are off by at least 3 degrees. Whatever that entity is, it's exerting a magnetic effect.
Amazing. Why didn't I think of that? We should probably pull back out of its circle of influence so that we can get a true alignment.
I recommend that we step back far enough so that you can locate the true bearing. Then step forward until the needle is drawn off plumb.
Perfect. Then we mark that spot. It's a good thing that Casey brought in more salt and candles. I always use soy-based candles. Don't you just love soy candles?
I certainly do. We're gonna find something very interesting.
Yep, Stein is on the prowl. Aren't you going to offer to help?
Nah, they're having too much fun. Who am I to spoil it?
I guess. Tell me, Angie, what does Adrian have to say about whatever it is?
She's not sure. Adrian says she's never seen anything like it. She tried communicating with it, but no results so far. Adrian says that she can't even get a clear visual image of it.
Angie, love. A little help, please?
Boss, I'm getting a very bad feeling about this one. You?
No more than usual. Why?
Check out this Stassnometer. It reads a bunch of different energy wavelengths, okay? This number, this one right here, is steadily increasing.
So,
it shouldn't be. This readout indicates... Boss, we really need to... Look out!
Thank you. Mr. Nash! Mr. Nash! Please wake up, sir. This is important.
Come on. We don't have much time.
What hit me? Jane? Adrienne?
Hiya.
Am I dead?
No.
Not really.
Am I on drugs?
No.
Definitely not.
Nightmare?
Close.
And the others?
They're all safe. Unconscious, but safe.
Well, what happened? Where am I?
You're still in the Van Mont Theater. We know this must seem somewhat, disorienting. But we had to do it. We had to bring you beyond the veil.
It was decided that since you had dealt with us before, you might respond best to us.
Decided? Respond? What do you mean beyond the veil? Are you sure I'm not dead?
This whole production was put together so that we could get you into a position where we could speak to you without an intermediate, face to face. The thing Mala and Angie found. We did that. Well, us and a few others.
Listen closely. We only have enough time to do this once. It's the Reavers. We're all in danger. They've been in the museum. Three of them. They're hunting us.
Why?
It's a long story, so I'll give you the condensed version. During the 1600s and 1700s, there were regular incursions by spirit entities into the earthly realm. The first of these incursions took place in Scotland. It was beaten back by a group of border reavers. At the time, the reavers were similar to militia units who patrolled the border between Scotland and England. Apparently, this particular group had a druid as a member.
Yeah, of course.
This band of reavers took it upon themselves to rid the world of these interlopers. Soon there were reaver enclaves in both Europe and the New World.
Ever hear of the Salem witch trials? Three of those women were actually working with the entities. Reavers flushed them out.
For a time, the renowned clerics Cotton and Increase Mather were allied with the reavers, but they later renounced that alliance.
Our reaver had something she called a Mather talisman.
Supposedly sacred objects imbued with ghost hunting powers. Defensive powers as well.
You have to understand. These people have drifted in and out of existence over the centuries. The Glasgow haunting of 1794, the birth of the spiritualism in the 1800s, the hunt for Jack the Ripper even. Mostly they just observe, sometimes they participate. They were not above using torture to make people talk. Or to keep them quiet.
Are you saying the Reavers are to the paranormal what the Men in Black are to UFOs?
I guess. At any rate, the last time we can confirm a Reaver sighting was at the Aubrey Mansion infestation in 1959. After that, it appeared that they had passed back into history. Until...
Until what?
Until that movie about Da Vinci and the Templars. There was a rebirth of interest in old secret societies. The Reavers Guild is back in business.
So, these aren't classic Reavers. They're more like wannabes.
Wannabes trained by someone holding on to the old ways. We think this makes them even more dangerous.
So why are they here?
Hello? They hunt ghosts. Us. We're abominations and they are holy warriors. They exist to hunt us down.
But why?
Hatred, anger, who cares? We're prey. Actually, there is another reason. The real reason.
There were three main entities that crossed over into this world. Generals. Two of them were soundly defeated and dispatched, but one, Volka, was just wounded and escaped. According to legend, Volka fled to the unmapped western wilderness of the colonies, and it went deep underground to heal. It's still there.
Hey, fun fact. In some of the old languages, Volka means devourer.
Devourer? Hey, Adrienne.
I'm afraid so. The thing in the museum sub-basement?
That's what they're after?
That and any other ghost they can get their hands on. You have to understand, we don't know what they do to the spirits to capture.
For the time being, all of the sentient ghosts will be going silent until this blows over. Please tell Casey that I might not make it to the Halloween party.
I'll make sure that Marla and Angie are a long way from here. I don't want them getting caught in the middle if this ends up a shooting war.
I feel a headache coming on. Am I going to remember any of this?
The highlights, we hope. Like we said, this is not something that's done often.
Could you speak up? I couldn't...
Uh-oh. He's fading out.
I'm what?
Just relax, Mr. Nash.
You'll be waking up in 5, 4, 3, 2...
He's coming too. Boss? You alive?
Not sure. Jane and Adrienne both say hi.
What? What was that supposed to mean?
I'm not sure.
Madam.
Damien, what word? Has our guest made any progress?
He has placed your niece in a series of successfully deeper trances. He has regressed her to a point where she can visualize herself and a museum employee named Casey waiting on an apparition to appear. She remembers a sudden pain in her head, then her next memory is waking up in her apartment and phoning in her resignation.
Can he delve any deeper?
Our guest says that he has access to some psychotropic drugs that might help, but he says there could be organistic damage. I think we should avoid that. Madam, I don't trust this man. I don't trust him or his people.
Neither do I, but to complete our task, we need allies. Unfortunately, his organization is best suited to our needs. Plus, he has a personal stake in it as well.
I know. It's just that I don't trust people I don't know. I'm not comfortable with a man who needs that much equipment to stay alive.
Agreed. But there is glorious news as well. We have located Volca.
Volca? The last of the original three? Where?
Miranda believes it is trapped beneath the museum. That would fit with the legends and the rest of our information.
The final battle approaches. When do we move?
End of the week. We'll use their Halloween party as a cover.
I'll alert the hooded ones.
There he is now, our partner. We have investigated the museum, as you suggested. It is indeed infested. We'll clean it out.
You may burn the museum to the ground, for all I care. But Nash, Mancuso, and Stein belong to me.
You've been listening to Tales from the Museum, Beyond the Veil, written by Charles Russell. Featured in our cast were Perry Whittle as Keith Nash, Amanda Fitzwater as Helene Mancuso, Captain John Tedderzak as Professor Stein, Alistair Stewart as Casey, M. Sierros Garcia as Mala Monroe, April Sadowski as Angie Adrienne, Rebecca Thrasher as Jane, Sally Widget is the voice of the tour guide. Marley Norton as Alexis, John Specht as Damien, and David Ault as Argus. The series is produced and directed by Ellie Hirschman. Post-production for this episode by Michael Wilkinson. Original music by Joey Stuckey and Kevin MacLeod. The executive producer for Darker Projects is Eric Busby. This has been a Darker Projects production. For more horror, science fiction, and other podcasts, please visit www.darkerprojects.com.
Please note, all veil piercing in this episode was performed by qualified supernatural beings. Do not attempt this at home.
So it appears that episode 12 is in some ways just an appetizer for the conclusion of the series, episode 13 of Tales from the Museum, which is next Sunday night here on Sound Effects, a radio playground. As an aside, there is at darkerprojects.com also a mini series called Tales from the Museum, The Beginning. It's a 3-episode series that perhaps you'll want to check out after you find out how much you like this series. Do check that out. Now, let's take a pause briefly here for this word from Heaven's IT.
Heaven's IT.
Hi, I'm a Calvinist.
Yeah, I know.
Because it was predestined.
It's on your caller ID.
Oh, well, I'm calling because I want to be sure that I'm safe.
Yeah, I can't tell you that, sir.
Why not?
Because if I told you, you'd learn something.
So?
Learning causes change.
Well, not always. I'm a reformed fundamentalist.
It's too risky. We can't edit eternity, sir.
But if it's already been decided, can't you just check the system for me?
No, because it's already been determined that you don't really want to know.
But it feels like I want to know.
Well, that feeling was also predetermined.
Then why am I calling?
Because you were meant to.
So I was meant to find out?
No, just meant to call.
And then what?
This.
This what?
This conversation.
So every word of this pointless conversation was...
decided ahead of time, yeah.
Even what I'm
about to say next, absolutely.
So I was always going to call you and ask this question.
Now you're getting it.
And you were always going to answer exactly like this?
Of course I was.
So how does this end?
The way it was always going to end.
So am I supposed to hang up now?
Well, what do you think?
I don't know.
Because you're not supposed to hang up.
Then what?
I am.
So that reminds me, if you have suggestions or questions or praise for this program, you can always email us at soundeffects@greatnorthernaudio.com. Sound effects, one word with an A on effects. Sound effects. And that reminds me that I'm still Jerry Stearns, host of Sound Effects, a radio playground, and we'll be back here next Sunday night with more modern audio theater. And if I remember right, you could stay tuned for Abby's Room for One. It's punk, grunge, and new wave music all the way till midnight. And that, of course, is apropos of almost everything on Fresh Air Radio. Join us again next week for more modern audio theater and comedy on Sound Effects, a radio playground, here on Fresh Air Radio.
Support for KFAI comes in part from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting An Evening with Van Orman and Helwyn with Mark Anderson, Thursday, June 18th. John Van Orman and Adam Helwyn are neighbors in the rugged Driftless area of southwestern Wisconsin. Together they craft traditional folk tunes and curated covers as raw and beautiful as the land they call home. They'll be joined by poet and percussionist Mark Anderson for this special performance. More information about An Evening with Van Orman and Helwyn with Mark Anderson is available at thecedar.org. Support for KFAI comes in part from First Avenue, presenting the Reverend Horton Heat at the Turf Club Saturday, June 20th. Dallas Psychobilly Trio, the Reverend Horton Heat, are back with their latest release, Roots of the Rev, Volume 1. It's an all-covers album paying tribute to the roots of rockabilly and country in an old-school, stripped-down, lo-fi way that only the Reverend Horton Heat can convoke. Opening the show are the Surf for Jets. More information about the Reverend Horton Heat at the Turf Club is available at first-avenue.com.
In recognition of the freedom of speech protections on the First Amendment and the FCC's relaxed policy on late night and overnight language, this KFAI program may include song lyrics that some listeners might find objectionable. Listener discretion is advised.
You can't always get what you want, but you try sometimes. You get what you need.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, going out to the stratosphere, or on the web at www.kfai.org, where you can catch this train wreck for the next 2 weeks. It's archived. This is Abby's Room for One Radio. You're at the end of your week, or the beginning of the next one, or somewhere in the middle, because our work weeks never end, but rock, well, that never dies. Here's some stuff.
She hasn't got a heart and she hasn't got a soul. Said that she has come to hell and won. But I'm a rebel leader, but I never could retrieve her.